You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The 2017 Equinox clearance is on right now. $8,000 off MSRP on all units. The 2018s are also here, so check it out at lakewoodchev.com. We are joined now by Paul Hamilton, Buffalo Sabres reporter for WGR Radio in Buffalo. And Paul, the Sabres, an interesting team to look at, a team that a lot of people still feel is on the upside, and it had Jack Eichel being healthy all season long. Who knows if they would have been able to sneak into the playoffs. They've definitely got some good young forwards. You got Ristolainen on the back end, but they have some defensemen in Kulikov and Franson that are currently UFAs, and with the expansion draft and the rules, I suspect neither would be re-signed prior to the expansion draft. Do you think either will be re-signed after the expansion draft?
No, I doubt. I would almost guarantee neither one would be. Kulikov was a train wreck here. It just didn't work at all. And I think Cody Franzen's better days are behind him. So, I would not expect either one to be re-signed as unrestricted free agents. And, you know, a guy for Team Russia, Antipin, who played very well for Team Russia at the World Championships. I got a chance to see him play three of those games. He is apparently going to be in town next Monday and sign with the Sabres. I think he's a guy watching him play that could fit into their top four. A guy who played in the Western Hockey League, who's a second-round pick for the Sabres, Brandon Gouley, who I think he came up for three games and was probably Buffalo's second-best defenseman in all three games. Finished the year in Rochester and was their best defenseman there. I think he's going to work in and probably, you don't want to put too much pressure on a 19-year-old kid, but he certainly has had very good training camps, and it makes you wonder how in the world he ever lasted into the second round. Tim Murray said a lot of the scouts thought a little of his intensity. That's why he dropped, but they said they had him as a first-round grade, and they wound up getting him in the second round. So that's going to be a defenseman that they probably are going to wind up shooing in, and then you would think they're still going to be looking to trade for a defenseman too.
So Jason Brodtle comes in. How does the tone, how does the direction of the team change under his leadership instead of Murray?
Well, I think a lot. Murray didn't get along with either one of his coaches. Botchel today, he was on our radio station with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe, and he was talking about how if an organization is going to survive, you absolutely have to have the coach and GM in sync with each other. They have to, have that relationship. And the Buffalo locker room, you talk about train wrecks I was talking about earlier. The Buffalo locker room was a complete train wreck last year with Dan Bylsma. He did not have a hold of that locker room at all. There was a lot of backstabbing going on. And I've heard Botchel say probably four times in the short time he's been here that Sullivan has control of that Pittsburgh locker room. They know exactly who is in charge, and there isn't any doubt. So that's the type of coach he's going to be looking for.
So who are some of the candidates you think that fit then with what he wants in a coach?
Well, you're always going to be looking at the guys with the Penguins, where he was for 10 years, which would be Rick Tocchet, Jacques Martin, and the AHL coach in Clark Donatelli. I'm sure all three of them might be candidates. I know Tocchet has been talked about a lot. He would not be even on my list because one of the things that Terry Pegula has talked about is integrity, and that's something that they have to get back into the organization, both the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills. And Rick Tocchet, you're talking about somebody who pled guilty in a gambling ring and who also was arrested at Customs because he only claimed a little bit of the money that he had and wound up paying a fine for that. So and he hasn't coached in the NHL, the head coach, since 2009, and his 2 years were not good. So with all that in mind, I'm not sure I would be real excited about that. Phil Housley is another one. The Florida Panthers want to talk to him. I think the Sabres would also like to talk to him, the assistant coach with Nashville. I think he would be a great fit for these young defensemen here. I've read articles how the defensemen in Nashville are just like, Housley has been fantastic with them, and just look at the results. And Laviolette even said, he goes, I leave him alone. He's in charge of the defense. He puts them out. I don't tell him who to play or anything like that. That's his thing. And I think he could help Rasmus Ristolainen become the number one defenseman that I think he can be. He's close, but too many inconsistencies there. So I think he could help with that. Young Gouley, I think, would be, I mean, he's just like Housley was as a player. I think he would help him. Antepin, he would help him. And even a guy like Jake McCabe, who was playing on the one pair off and on for the Sabres last year, I think he could help him too. So Housley is the guy, I think, that could really fit well for the Buffalo Sabres. But as I said, the Florida Panthers want him too.
What about as far as the captaincy? Is that, you know, Johnson is a free agent this year. Do they have to now kind of wait to see what the coaching is saying, how that works out, and then get into the season? Or is there kind of a leader in your mind right now?
No, Bottrell said that that will be a decision between him and the coach. The okay. two of them will make that decision. The question is it time to hand the team over to Eichel? I don't know if it's quite the time for that. I think Brian Chianta has earned another year. I probably would sign him year to year from now. But I think if he comes back, I would have another year of him as the captain. Now, Brian is the type of player, and I've discussed this with him. He would come back, and he doesn't need to be the captain. He goes, listen. He goes, I've been at this long enough. I don't have to have a C in my jersey to lead. He goes, if they feel it's time for somebody else to be captain. And he's been, like, counseling these guys, Eichel and Reinhart. He's been trying to teach them what it's like to be a captain, and, you know, the younger players like that. So I could see him coming back and not necessarily having a C on his uniform. But with all that's happened with Eichel and everything and the way – I think Eichel has to calm himself down a little bit. I mean, I think they need to get him under control before they saw a C on his jersey. But, you know, McDavid's already the captain, and I don't think that's lost on Eichel.
Paul Hamilton joins us from Buffalo. Now, Paul, give me your scouting report on Cody Franson and what you saw when you look at the analytics to what you see on the ice. What can he help a team, and what are the challenges he brings?
Well, the challenges are, in this day and age, he's not very mobile at all. He did not bring the offense that I think they were hoping that he would bring. When they signed him to a two-year deal, I think they thought he was going to really help the power play, and he kind of did, but not as much as I think they thought he would. I thought, until he got hurt last year, he started coming on, and there were games where he was Buffalo's best defenseman. He really started to be playing better, but if I'm being honest, it wasn't a lot of games. It was just a stretch there where I thought he played well. So, you know, I'm wondering if maybe Father Time has caught up with him. He had some major injuries, which he had to get through. So I don't know. I don't know. It might be a tough go. If he gets a team, it might be as his number 6-7 guy.
What about as far as our local product here, Tyler Ennis? You know, he's battled some injuries the last couple of years, but his offense, you know, obviously he's more of an offensive guy, smaller, but where is he on their radar right now as far as, you know, being a productive, I guess, top nine at this time?
Well, there isn't a better person than Tyler Ennis. He's the type of guy that you root for to have success because he's that type of a person. And you feel awful for him that he's had the problems, two major concussions in a month. And he hasn't been the same since that's happened. He's almost lost him two full seasons. And unfortunately, he just hasn't been the same player. And, he did not thrive under Dan Byles in the system at all. So you do wonder, with a new coach, if you might get the old Tyler Ennis back. It's almost like making a trade if you do. Because, I mean, when Buffalo was tanking, Tyler Ennis was scoring 20 goals basically with eight Amerks in the lineup, eight AHL guys. And he was still scoring 20 goals. So imagine what he can do if he becomes Tyler Ennis again and is playing with better players like O'Reilly and Eichel and Reinhart and Kane and those types of guys. You know, he might get you 20, 25 goals, but he just has struggled to get back to be what Tyler Ennis was. He's not that old, so it's not like all is lost, but with the concussions, I just don't think he would have any trade value right now. I don't think a team would take a chance on that until they see the old Tyler Ennis come back again.
Paul, what about Evander Kane, who, of course, has been in the news for all the wrong reasons off the ice for a few years in Buffalo, seemed to be a little bit better in that department this year. Also scored 28 goals, second highest of his career since he scored 30 with the Jets in 2012. What do you make of Kane, who's an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season? Is he in Buffalo long-term? Is he an obvious trade partner either this summer or during the season? What do you think happens with Kane?
Well, I know Murray still had question marks about his outside activities. He said he's working on it and getting better, but there are some civil suits that I think are still pending that they want to see what happens with that. Now that Botterill's here, Botterill really hasn't spoken about him, but Botterill today spoke a lot about having integrity, and he goes, quite honestly, I'll take integrity over talent every time. He said that's the way the Penguins have operated once they got their talent, and that's how they filled in, and it's worked very well for them. So you have to wonder, what does that mean for Evander Kane? I mean, there's no questioning at all what he brings on the ice. He brings it every shift. He gives you 110%. He's tough. He'll fight you. He'll win battles in the corner. He'll go into the dirty areas to score goals. He'll stick up for teammates. On the ice, there is zero to complain about. But, you know, you have to wonder, has he matured? Are the off-ice problems behind him? He didn't get in any trouble. And then, actually, one of the off-ice problems, the charges went away because he stayed out of trouble for 6 months, and that was part of the plea agreement, that if he stays out of trouble for 6 months, the charges go away. That happened. So those charges are gone. So he has stayed out of trouble. Has he matured and let that all go away? Was he part of the circus in the locker room? You know, that's what Jason Botterill has to figure out. Jason Botterill, one of the biggest things he has to do right now is figure out that room and figure out who are the guys in there that he needs to get rid of and who are the guys in there that he needs to keep and how is he going to straighten out that room.
Well, I guess obviously it'll be up to him and the coach when they do it. Right now, today, if you had to do a mock draft, who do you think Buffalo loses in the expansion draft?
I would probably go with goaltender Linus Allmark.
Mm.
He was an all-star in the AHL. He's a good young goalie. I think if he stays, he's ready to be the tandem with Leonard. And it wouldn't shock me if eventually he went ahead of Leonard. Buffalo also has Cal Peterson, the Notre Dame goaltender. They had assigned him. They're waiting to see if he's going to come back for his senior year or not. If he declares he's leaving school, Buffalo then has 30 days to sign him or he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Honestly, I've seen Peterson at Notre Dame. I've seen him in the prospects camps now for 3 years. My opinion, I think he probably will wind up being the best of the three, but they got to get him signed first, and he holds all the cards, so it'll be interesting. But for my money, unless they make a deal, and I think the deal that Murray had in place is probably asking them not to take Allmark and to take somebody else, because McPhee owes Murray a favor for taking Klessel off his hands when they were in Washington. Klessel never even showed up for the Sabres. And but that's all off the board now. Now Botterill has to make his deal.
Well, it'll be interesting, Paul. I appreciate the scouting report on Kulikov and Franson and more. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate your time.
I have a very quick message for Jason Strudwick, though.
What's that?
I had lunch with Rob Ray, and he told me, he said, well, tell him if he enjoyed when I kicked his butt. And then I looked it up, and I'm going, wait a minute. They never fought.
Yeah, what do you mean? You know what? He probably talked me off the ice, though. He's probably yapping. That guy was yapping all the time. Oh my God, Rob Ray!
You fought Peters and Reve. Peters, you fought in the preseason game. You fought Reve,
yeah.
Our other two guys, but you never fought my broadcast partners during the Sabres, which are Brad May and Rob. But Rob was fibbing me.
yeah, he did. He's filling you up. I only fought those other. Weren't they bigger? Reve and Peters are big guys, right?
Yeah, Reve, you would have either been with the Sabres or with Montreal. Or San Jose at the time.
Yeah.
Peters was a preseason game with the Sabres.
Yeah. He was a tough guy. He was a big, strong guy. I remember I fought him like, oh, boy, hang on, big guy. I got to get through this next 10 seconds.
So that was Rob Ray's message, my lunchtime message to you.
I love it. Well, say hi to him for me.
I will.
Appreciate it. Paul Hamilton.